At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hi, baddies. This is a warning that this is actually part two of our recap of Love is Blind Season 6, Episodes 7 to 9. So if you haven't heard the first part, I urge you to go back. We got into the Jimmy and Chelsea of it all, Kenneth and Brittany, all that good stuff in the first one. And this one is about our last two couples. If you already listened to it, thank you so much. Please like, comment, and subscribe if you are enjoying this on YouTube. If you're on the podcast app, please rate the podcast 5 stars and leave us a review. I would very much appreciate it. All right, here is our part two.
They were already messy in Dominican Republic, now this, but speaking of, in the Dominican Republic, after Laura was weird about AD's body, she is so upset and triggered. She used the word triggered by Jeremy telling people what she said about the bean dipping. Jeremy apologizes to her for giving her the silent treatment once he got home because he was mad that, I don't know, she was trying to set him up? I don't know.
Right. I'm just like, I think both of y'all have valid reasons to be mad, and also AD has valid reasons to be mad.
AD has the most valid reasons to
be
mad.
The ultimate. She is the main person who should be upset, but like, it's like y'all actually set each other up.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Laura, you should have never said it to Jeremy. Jeremy, it was messy to say it to other people. Like, tell AD that she said it, you know?
Yeah, they're all embarrassed. I think they should just admit that they're both so embarrassed by their own actions. But Laura's like, I'm the wrong one, because why would you retell the stupid shit I say?
It's like, why would you say it if you didn't want him to potentially mention it to someone? Because like, it's like, if you're saying, well, it's like, both of y'all need to think harder about that, because a man slapping a woman's breast is never funny. But it's like, y'all are so goofy together that you both thought that was funny, and now you're shamed because somebody told you it wasn't.
Yeah. So,
and then they're mad at each other.
Yeah.
It's like, you made me get in trouble. No, and it's like, no, both of y'all thought that shit was funny, and it's not.
You're whack.
Y'all was kikiing it together. Then Jeremy said that to AD, and AD and Clay were like, wait, what?
Nah, you're a weirdo. So Jeremy said he picked Laura because of how they resolve conflict. But for Sarah, it was always fun, and that was a question of, oh, basically what Amy and Johnny said. We haven't had our first fight.
Mm-hmm. And I also want Jeremy to stop rewriting history, because saying that it was all about fun is omitting the fact that you talked to this woman about you would like for her to go to your father's grave in Florida. That is not a fun hee-hee-ha-ha conversation. That's a very serious conversation. And that means you had to be vulnerable with her about the fact that your father died, how close y'all were, and then to the point of saying you would want to take her to his grave. So don't do that.
Wow. That's very true. I did not think that.
They talked about politics. This girl is saying, I'm a patriot. That is not hee hee ha ha funny. Like, that's like very, because she's like, I'm anti-abortion. That is a very serious statement to tell someone and not know their own political beliefs around that. Like, he's rewriting the story, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, you do.
Well, it's like, yeah, that's true. But I'm like, does he not realize how much of a lie it is?
I think he thought he was going to get away with it. Like, they are both, these two people are not, just not thinking, which is so great because of conversation between them later. Okay. So this is when we're still in the DR. Jeremy's told Amy that he still wants to meet Sarah. Amy looked like she wanted to say something, but was holding back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's close to Laura. I don't think Amy hangs out with
none of the women, honestly.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, I noticed the first night in the DR, she kept going to Johnny. She wasn't around. She would like have little moments of being with the women, but she'd be like, where's my man? Where's Johnny?
Yeah, that's very interesting. All right, they go back and they have to see each other's places. Jeremy has a garage gym, which he uses often, and he goes inside, and there's a cute note from his mom congratulating him on his engagement.
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet.
Laura claims that his place looked staged. She said that she didn't believe him in the pods when he said cleanliness was important to him, but she's surprised that it's real. And then she said it's giving serial killer vibes, but in a good way.
There's no good way to have serial killer vibes, ma'am. See, this is what I'm talking about with your sense of humor just being off, girl.
It's just off.
And she's like kept bringing up, she's like, I just hope he's as clean as he says he is. And then when he really is, she's like, it's kind of giving serial killer vibes. She likes to roast. Like, Laura has this energy of like liking to roast and pick all the time, and she's like, that should be okay. But I'm like, not everybody's okay with that.
Yeah, and she can't take it either. She has a conniption. Literally a Karen coming out. Literally. It's so wild. So I think she was disappointed. She sees the CPAC, though, and that's what she needed. Except it didn't make any noise, so it's actually not that embarrassing.
Literally, again, it's like she wants to have something that she can pick on him about. It's like, why we heard about these Hawaiian shirts so many times? Like, girl, do you like this man? Because you say more insults than you actually say nice things about him.
You don't respect him, and he don't respect her, and that's where this led to what it gets.
Period.
This is so ghetto. We were watching these white people get their lick back. That's what they're doing to him with that. And it's ghetto out here. Oh, and then speaking of freaking we have a whole side chick storyline because of them. So Laura meets up with Jess. The completely wrong name. Yeah, she meets up with Jess, and they're talking. So we learn from this that Jeremy told Jimmy to look at Jess's Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Messy, messy, messy.
For what? I mean, he was going to see her anyways, but truly for what?
Exactly. What was that about? What was the point?
And they're like, Jess is doing the freaking most because she loves it. She loves it that Jimmy saw her. She loves it that he put in a friend request. She did not respond right away, and then he revoked it and then went private.
Jess is giving city girls take your man energy. She's like, look, he might have chosen you, but he might choose me too.
Yeah. It's too much, honestly. And I'm like, do you even like him? Because this is, Laura asked, were you repulsed by him? Which was, she started at repulsed. That's how negative Laura is.
Just mean. I just said, were you repulsed? Girl.
Just like, no. No. And she said, even if I was, I would just marry him and close my eyes. I will say, Quita, I did close my eyes and listen to Jimmy because I did not believe you the first time that he had a deep voice. But I hear and see in my mind's eye what girlies were seeing and hearing in their mind's eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's like you see him the whole time, right? So you're just like, no. But like if you just listen, it's like you hear the richness in his voice, like the lower notes in his voice. And it's like
richness,
for me,
yeah, really.
The richness, you know, it's like he has like a heavy voice, you know, but it's just like, for me, what's so funny is like Jessica's doing all of this for Jimmy and I just don't see why.
For camera time.
Period. Because I'm just like, girl, he ain't got enough money for you to be trying to steal him from Chelsea. He lives in a studio apartment. You have a 10-year-old. This ain't even going to work. Like, he ain't got a big enough bag to be stealing him on TV like this.
Yeah, and ego. I think it's, like, ego. Because, yeah. It's the same thing that people are hating Chelsea for right now. Jess is also exhibiting it. So it's, like, annoying to me that people are having such wildly different reactions. So, in the end, Jess gets her own interview, which I know she was living for, because that doesn't always happen at this point. And she says the most. She was just like, oh, well, he might be engaged, but he's a man. Ew.
It's like, why would you want a man who's engaged to someone else who's thinking about you? That's not the man you want.
And the fact that Laura's still hanging out with Jess and then goes through what she goes through, I'm like,
wow.
So messy.
So messy. And, like, she reads the DM, right, to Jess during that meetup.
She does. So that's going on. And, yeah, she was just like, Sarah Ann DM'd Jeremy. She thanked him for his experience. She then wrote, if he's rethinking his choice, then they should meet. So,
I was like, Sarah Ann, you didn't have to be messy.
Sarah Ann's definitely going to be messy because Sarah Ann has, like, what, 30,000 Insta followers?
Or 30,000 TikTok followers. And she had 4,000 on Instagram at the time, which I'm sure is way more now at this point.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I don't want to know. So, yeah, this couple, they're back at home. They're getting ready for Laura's family to come over. She's filling up a vase with flowers. It keeps falling over. So he makes a joke of, haha, well, let's put some water in this so it stays. One of us has to be the smart one. Laura was quick to be like, well, I have a college degree.
Whoa.
No tact. Just straight for it. And it's like, she's so angry, yo. She's an angry woman.
She is. She is very angry. Like, very ready with the quips. But it's like, each one is like, it's meant to slice you.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, he was just, I mean, you could have been like, don't joke with me like that if you don't like jokes like that. But for him to be like, one of us has to be smart around here. And then you're like, that's why I have a college degree and you don't. Mm-hmm. So that also lets me know you have a value judgment about having a college degree.
Oh, absolutely. She is so judgmental. Just the whole Hawaiian shirt thing, right? When she was when she talked about it later with her family, because they're like, that just seems like a fun thing. She was like, look, he is a respectable man. She started listing things about him, and she was like, I just think like the Hawaiian shirt, she thinks it looks goofy. Like, I think being respected is so important to her, and status maybe in a way. Like, she wants to have a very specific picture of the man that stands next to her, and one with a Hawaiian shirt in it.
Right. I think she is attracted to the fact that he's an entrepreneur, a very successful one, it seems. Mm-hmm. But I think his personality she hates. She thinks he's like a goofy idiot. And she treats him like she feels that way about him. Yeah. I'm like, girl, you don't like this man. So please stop wasting your own time.
For real. It's all about like molding too. Because she's like, oh, he likes this, but I'll change that. And like, I had this long pros and cons list, but there was two cons and... Oh, but yeah, I think she's one of those, this is kind of old school marriage. I think she's just like, I'm going to dress my husband. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure he doesn't look like a schlub. And like, that's one of my duties.
Right. It's like, well, is that what he wants from you in your relationship? Or is that you feeling like your husband should look a certain style? Way, so you're literally going to mold his style to be the type of man that you want to be with.
Yeah. And that's not great. No one likes to be a project, as we've learned. So, yeah, her family comes over, which is so interesting. This has to be, like, the most interesting family visit ever on this show to me. Because the way before Laura's parents came over, she was like, oh, yeah, my parents have been married for a long time, but I don't want their marriage. Mm-hmm. I want something fun and da-da-da. And I'm like, your parents are going to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl, Carol, whatever her mama's name is, she came in and she dragged her. First of all, this woman reminds me of Phyllis from The Office. Like, if you listen to her voice and how she looks, and guess what? What did Phyllis of The Office have? A good-ass husband. A good-ass marriage. And Laura, she's giving Mindy Kaling a freaking character. Yeah.
Oh,
so, and what was so good and so interesting is that she's listening, because Laura has to put all their business out there, so she puts all the business out there. She was like, and I'm in a love triangle, but that's his business. That's how she framed that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The family's like, what the hell are you talking about? And now this man's he's drowning, but then again, it's a pool of his own making.
Truly. Truly.
She just made that shit be public. Like, their big thing is that they're both doing sneaky, weird stuff, but mm-hmm. they're mad that, like, they're not each other's accomplices. They'll rat each other out so quick.
And a heartbeat. Which, for me, indicates that they don't like each other very much.
No.
You know, like, I think for me, it's starting to feel like Laura wanted to win the man, but then she won him. And she's like, I don't even like him like that.
So we think it's the same thing with Chelsea?
Mm-hmm. Clearly the difference in that situation was Chelsea had another choice. I think a part of me really feels like she chose Jimmy because another woman wanted Jimmy. So I feel like for her that suddenly made Jimmy more attractive to her. Like, there must be something since he has multiple women. But I'm like, he just got a deep voice and I don't know. Like, I don't see much else that y'all liked about him. Whereas, like, in the situation with Laura, she was the one waiting for Jeremy to pick between her and homegirl, you know, and she was very strategic in how she played it. She didn't let Sarah Ann know that she knew about them, whereas Sarah Ann had no clue about, you know, so it's just like, I feel like, you know, it's like she had this insider knowledge of she's competing with somebody. Strategy talk.
Insider knowledge, like it's inside trading.
Well, it's like that thing of like, you know, some women are being open about who they're dating, which puts them kind of at a disadvantage because it's like then somebody else might be dating that person too and they're just not telling you. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, I think you should be your genuine self, but if someone's trying to win somebody, then they know something you don't, you know?
That's very true. So yeah, the mom sits her outside. And in the interview, the mom, I think it's Cindy, Queen Cindy, she's sitting next to her husband, and he's like, yeah, if she's not with someone, we'll give it right back. She'll run all over him. Cindy was like, and I hate she gets away with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's clear that her mom is aware of how she could be a mean girl. Like, yeah. She could be very mean. And these relationships, and these men let her get away with it.
I wonder, like, what is the start of that? But, you know, the sister-in-law was talking about, you know, your brother, which is never actually a good argument to be like, your brother. She's like, my husband. No, that's her brother.
Right, because she really don't care what he's doing.
She's like, here's Hawaiian shirts, and guess what? And Laura's just like, you want my fiance's Hawaiian shirts? I'll give them right now. She's like, I'm not speaking. This is very weird, because Laura then says, well, what if he doesn't like them? Did you notice that? Because they were like, he likes these shirts, obviously, but what if he doesn't? And it's like, Laura,
do you think he's telling? He told you that about himself. You said it yourself. He has a closet full of these shirts. Why would he have a closet full of shirts that he doesn't even like?
What, Laura? Laura is like really plotting on this man to completely change things. Like, you really think you know better than him, huh? Okay.
It's like you don't like him, so just stop. Just stop all this. Like, go find you a suave guy who's in control of the situation, who has what you want, and leave who this guy, who I feel like you think he's like, you don't take him serious at the end of the day. So just leave him alone.
Yeah. So wild. She then goes on about how her cons are stupid. Then why are we harping on them? And that's why she picked Jeremy, because they agreed on everything else. So the mom was just like, you guys talk harshly of each other, but try to change. And Laura's like, I'm not. And you know when the next time we see Laura? First of all, the audio of this is so good that I just have to play it. I really debated if I should start it earlier of, so are you going to take those sunglasses off? You're wearing them inside? There was a perfect pause, and then she just started going. I was like,
you left at 10:45, and we're up till 5-something in the fucking morning. The bar's closed at 2. What were you doing until 5 o'clock in the morning?
It's giving Whitney Houston.
It's, wow, just outstanding performance. Just like,
just a time, place, all the details, fill them in. This man started off with a freaking tone like, Jeremy, you didn't do that shit. You did that shit.
I was just like, you do know who you're engaged to, right? Like, this is not the one who you stay out till 5 a.m. and you think it's not going to be a problem.
But I feel like there's some couples who really like to antagonize each other, and this was just all part of it. Like,
right.
I feel like this was a whole game between them. A tussle.
Yeah, it's like a power play. Like, yeah.
So Yeah, and so he's like, the first words out of his mouth was about karaoke, and I'm like, I'm dead.
For karaoke? Like, sir, be so serious right now.
We're going to karaoke, and then the bars changed. He said that the pod guys were like, hey, just to let you know, Sarah Ann is here. And this is so funny because this is such a cheater move because they're always like, well, I thought about doing the right thing, but then I thought I have self-control. Or I'm not going to let her, the evil seductress,
dictate what I do.
Have power over me. I'm going to go talk to her right now.
And honestly, the way he said that, he was like, I'm not going to let anyone else dictate my actions. I couldn't tell if he meant not going in because Sarah Ann would scare him off or that she couldn't make him not go in. He's not going to go home because that's what she wants him to do.
Yeah. You know what? That's a very good reading. That could be it because he does feel like that. He's like, oh, you think you're gonna embarrass me in front of other people? Here you go. So wild. And then I'm gonna push Jimmy to do the same. So he talks about so when he goes in, Sarah Ann says hi, hugs him, walks away, and he was like, what was that? So stupid. This high school drama stuff, this little interaction, that was enough that you wanted to put your relationship with your fiance in jeopardy? She could stay mad.
Literally. And it's like her being, what do you mean, what was that? You chose another woman over her. That is a logical reaction to me personally. But like,
yeah.
It's like you wanted to talk to her. So just say that. That's why you went to that bar, because you wanted to see her.
Sure did. So he says that afterwards, she's like, where's the rest of it? What else did you do? He said that they talked it out, and he shared his location. So he was being completely transparent, Guida. Nothing was going wrong.
It's like, I mean, she made the point. She's like, you thought I would be, like, looking at your location at 5 in the morning?
He wanted her stressed.
Either he wanted her stressed or he thought she'd be asleep. I don't know. It's like, either he was like, she's asleep, she's not going to see this, or he was like, he wanted her stressed and worrying about where the hell he's at. Because even then, he, like, when at first he says, I don't want to talk about where I was.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to say it on camera.
No, he didn't. And she's like, well, I got the deets.
Exactly. We weren't downtown. She was like, you're north of uptown. And I'm like, what is Charlotte?
Right. I was like, not Charlotte's neighborhoods.
I was like, someone draw me a map of Charlottesville. We had names of freaking karaoke bars and bars. Draw that for me. This is so funny. So in the end, she was like, then where were you? And he said that they were sitting in the parking lot of the bar. And then she was like, none. You were at Sarah Ann's place. Cut to black. But before that, she was like, I'm supposed to be your mama today. Now you bringing up the boy's mama. he was sweating. She was like, I don't want to talk to that lady today. She's going to ask, oh, what do you like about my son? I don't like you right now. He said, okay. Gears right now.
Like, no, sir. Gears, she's locked in right now.
Locked in. So she walked away saying that she was done. So that might be the last we see of these two. I don't know. Well, it's not. We see coming up. They're at that party.
Right. Wow. Sarah Ann and Jessica, no shame. And I'm like, for these men?
Yeah.
This is literally all a game to y'all, because this can't be for real.
if we need to remember what Sirian, this is the person we're talking about, and this is the picture with her talking to Laura.
Right. Yeah, when she, this is after when he breaks up with her, right? And she's like telling her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is a little scary though, because Sirian took that breakup so easily. Because
she calculated. She's like, oh, I ain't worried about it.
She was like, why? Oh, you have fun with me. Oh, okay. Oh. All
right. Right. She's just going to take this man just to dump him, honestly, just to prove that
I think that's both her and Jess, if, like, anything of that sort happens.
Right.
Like, it's not the long haul. Like,
no, it's just to prove that they can. I did it. I've done it. I'm done.
And yeah, oh my god, Jeremy, so scary. I don't know what's up with the pod guys, but I'm so scared.
Right.
All right, our last couple,
Lady
and Clay. Our one black love couple, Clay. Or tennis probably at home somewhere, just
right.
Heading
to the right. That moment when they were in the DR and Kenneth was like, wow, turn me on. I was like, sir.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Clay and AD were kissing and Kenneth is like standing next to him. He's like, wow, turn me on. And it's like he's saying it in a joking way, but it's also just kind of like, sir, that's an interesting choice of words to say.
Oh my god.
I know we were all worried about Jimmy, but it's like also Kenneth has said he dates black women, so he might not have been feeling Brittany because he saw AD.
Oh, I mean, some people think that. Honestly, I wouldn't be mad if that's the reunion story. Actually, you know, AD and I, we've kept in touch, play, fumbled.
Because he's already anticipating that he's going to fumble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
Like, it's setting it up.
Setting it up. Kind of like how freaking Jeremy was setting stuff up. Of like, oh, my God, she messaged me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so we go back to the DR for AD and Clay. We start with Clay being like, ooh, red light kisses. I was like, no, this is so messy of the editor. Because I just was like, this is all red flags.
That is major red flags.
So red light kisses as well, sure. AD actually talks about how she went to 2 Super Bowls as a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Right. So it was in that interaction where, for me, I started feeling like, I don't think Clay actually likes AD. I think Clay hypothetically likes AD on paper. He likes certain features of hers. But, like, the way he was so invested, because he brings up her the time that she danced for the Patriots, right? And it's like, he's like, wow, you were with some big players like Gronk and all, right? And it's like, he's like really like, oh my gosh, your accolades, all the things that you have. And it's like, do you like this girl?
Oh my god, I don't know. I hope so. Clay's interesting one, and he's hard to read for me. Like, some things it's like plain as day. Other times I'm like, I think he's processing, therefore I'm processing. But Clay reveals his dad is Guyanese and his mom goes to Martha's Vineyard. He didn't know it was by the water. But okay, he was like, oh, I do not want to go to Massachusetts. And then he slurps down a soup. AD shook.
Very.
And we just sit in it. It's so quiet.
Again, the editors, they ain't right for what they did on that episode. They're not right. Like, I'm like, y'all could have cut a lot of this dead air, but y'all are really building up the suspense. Like, yes. Y'all want us to feel this.
They are. So, he all of a sudden says that he doesn't want to let her down. The wedding day is coming up. He wants to give her what she wants. And I'm like, not you sounding like Matthew.
That part. That's, I'm like, oh, you toxic. You toxic. Because the way they keep framing it is like, I want to give you what you want. So you're making it clear you don't want it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd be like, I'm excited to marry you.
And you're framing it as if like, oh, you're just asking so much and I'm trying to give you what you want. And it's like, what the hell? She asks, what is the roadblock? And he doesn't have an answer. He finally explains that he wants to get married at the end of this, but his family history with divorce gets to him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Later on, AD reveals, this is when all the ladies are having sex. Laura and I think AD both confirm that they've been physical while Chelsea is getting there. So, they were all cheering about that. Then AD later tells Jimmy that she's glad them talking about her ass was such a pivotal moment for their friendship.
I don't
understand Jimmy and AD's thing.
Me neither. Also, I feel like I've heard this other places too, but people feel like Jimmy might also date black women.
Yeah.
So it's like he might, it might be like a certain level of comfort that they have with each other or that he has with her. Because it's like sometimes they seem like they're flirting to me and their conversations seem a borderline like inappropriate. But it's just like also they might just have like this weird friendship or like he feels comfortable with her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's all possible at this point. So Jeremy apologizes to AD about the bean dip situation. Yeah. He said he felt so bad he was going to leave the show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. That was a shame spiral right there.
Right.
And he's probably like, oh, I could have left and you don't care. You're like mad that I did this. They're both idiots. It's so wild. It's so wild. Jeremy advises her to give Clay space when he's being introspective, and she's so relieved. Like, she wanted to jump for joy because she was like, him just going quiet and then saying, like, my worst fear. It's not about me. And he's like, no, he does that with the guys, which actually gave so much insight into Clay. And really, like, made me start looking at him a different way. Like, I think he really needs to process stuff.
He really needs to be in therapy, is what I'm picking up from him. Because I feel like he's starting to because him naming, like, I'm not a good guy, like, I want to be a better person. I think he's realizing some of these things that he's done in the past are really hurtful ways to be in relationship to people. And, like, realizing where it's stemming from, like he's picking up, like this is connected to how my dad showed up, right? And it's like, you are on a journey of learning so much about yourself. You need to be working with a therapist and not trying to get this through AD who's been to therapy. You should be trying to date AD, not like solely talk to her and process your issues around how you've handled previous romantic relationships.
Yeah, he's kind of given up on courting her. It really is becoming back-to-back therapy sessions. So Clay admits that all of his black male examples cheats. There were some wild names in there, including his own father. So he notices that, and that's common. He wants to be married and monogamous, but he has to figure it out. And he does want to go to therapy with AD. And it's like, again, solo therapy, too.
Yeah, also that. Not just her going to therapy.
Yeah. AD is proud of Clay and his house. So we get to see his racing. Not racing, is it racing? What is it?
He ran track, yeah.
Yeah.
Racing?
What's that story? I don't know. So, yeah, he used to be a track star back in the day. He has that jersey and picture. They talk about kids, and they're like, hey, we can make this home a kid-friendly home. And she is glad that she doesn't see a woman's touch. The heteroness, because the way these women are like, oh, I don't want to be the wife that needs to clean up after a man. But then, oh, they're so neat. Like, it's weird. Serial killer vibes. And then this of just like, oh, I'm so glad there's nothing that feels feminine here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me of that previous season where the two of them, I can't remember their names, but they were arguing because he had a drawer and it has like women's hair ties and things in it, right? And it's like
territorial.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, well, this is a grown ass man who's dated other people before you, I'm assuming, and their things might be there, or they might have memories with someone else.
They want their home to be a blank space for them to do their stuff on them. It's the most territorial, like, hyper-feminine
thing
being on this.
Right.
Oh, my God. So, AD meets Clay and his mama and his sister. AD explains that she's a realtor and manages VIP at a nightclub, which is interesting. AD wants Clay to come home more at night when he has off. I guess he's staying elsewhere because he's doing a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Clay said that's valid, but I got to work. And this is where I also started noticing how this conversation was going. I feel like I started giving more Clay, giving him a little bit more leeway, because I think he's really struggling. At least it reads to me that he's genuinely struggling at, like, processing more of the nuance of what she's saying. She's saying, I need you home, and he's like, I have to work. And he gets frustrated of, like, what is the problem? Because I'm hearing, I need to go home, and I have to work. So how is work not the problem? But I think also everyone has a different read, and that he's, like, snapped on her out of something else.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, I'm curious if other people that he's dated in the past, how serious has he ever gotten in a relationship? Is this the first time someone is asking this type of request from him, right? Like, having an expectation that, like, I understand you have to work, but you have to intentionally make time for this relationship. And that looks different than you being able to easily say, I have to work, so that's why I can't do this. Like, you have to put some effort, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe no one else, maybe other people, if they brought it up, maybe he's just like, you're just my girlfriend, or we're just talking or whatever, but like, this is his fiance. And it's like, this is wild that this is the first time y'all seem to be really talking about this in front of your mom.
We got so heated.
Like, to the point where mom felt like she needs to, like, interject. And I was just like, because she was like, you know, I was married for 23 years, but I'm like, ma'am, we've already heard that your man cheated on you for the bulk of your marriage. So, like, we already have been influenced about anything you're about to say.
Like, you know how much your marriage is playing a part in this?
Right here, right now, like, your son thinks he can't be faithful because of your marriage.
Traumatized. Literally traumatized. It's so bad. There's no real resolution. I think he's probably still confused on what the problem is, but I think hopefully her saying, hey, if you love someone, you make time for them.
Right.
So, yeah. AD What else? She also talks about Grace. So Clay's mom says AD needs to understand the schedule, but if someone is important to me. Yeah, I think that's the end of it for them.
Yeah. I mean, I was like,
Walter.
No, because when he said, my dad is the type of guy who will probably try to flirt with you, I was like, this is a red flag. Yeah. This is, AD, you don't want to be in this situation, babes. This man has talked more about his fear of cheating on you than he's talked about his desire for you.
Truly.
That's a bit concerning.
I don't know how she emotionally, mentally handles that. Because it's every single time. And I know when they sit them down for a scene, they're probably like, talk about your issues and like have points. But it's like, there's nothing else.
Literally. Like, he's not saying, or we don't hear him really reassure her, other than that accolades conversation where he's like, oh, you were, like, dancing. But other than that, he's, like, constantly processing, like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna be faithful. And what I also picked up when he said the thing about his dad, the examples, he's like, I've never seen an example of black love where the man isn't cheating. And that, to me, what we previously talked about who he's attracted to, that, to me, reinforces, I'm like, I think he predominantly dates non-black women. And him, or maybe not dark-skinned black women for sure. And I think he's having to process a lot about how he could show up in this relationship without cheating. And like, I'm just like, why are you constantly thinking about cheating all the time? Like, what is that fear coming from? Like, I get it, you're like processing the trauma around your father's relationship, but I'm like, what's going on here? Like, what have you done in previous relationships, and what are the type of people you previously dated?
All relevant questions. Yeah. Would be so interesting to hear that. We haven't seen her introduce him to her people, but it does look like she talks to her in a later episode. So I need someone to give Clay a harsh shocking to. I don't know if it's ever gonna happen, but probably not. We wouldn't get it in the teaser.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. This season. Interesting.
Very, very interesting. Well, that's it for this drop of episodes. Guido, what are you most looking forward to?
I want to hear this conversation that AD has with her mom, and I'm really messily excited for this, like, barbecue that's
about to happen. It's going to be so bad. It's going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
Forgot about a beautiful black moment.
Oh, yeah.
And a chaotic bi moment. You know what? During the scene of Clay introducing AD to his family, I just kept looking at his sister. Like, she was so interesting and cool. That's my beautiful black moment. I was escaping the awkwardness by looking at her.
Yes. If folks watch our reviews of Couple to Thruple, I feel like I'm cheating because I've said something like this before, but like 80s hot pink bathing suit when they were in the DR, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love. This looks so good on her. I'm in love with this.
yes. That's a good one. All right, so our chaotic bi moment.
For me, it has to be the crystal girlies.
Because
I really want to know, Johnny, what do they say about the crystal girlies? I just want to know.
We would all like to hear it. No, that's a good one. I can't think of anything else that would be a chaotic vibe. I mean, we have multiple love triangles going on here, but none of them are bisexual in nature. Yeah. I don't know. And it's Charlotte. It's just so straight.
It's so straight, so it is like so chaotic at the same time, which is my thing about purity culture. It just creates chaos.
If this is true.
Yeah, all of these strong values and beliefs around sexuality and all these things causes people to act out in ways sometimes not responsible or like in a healthy way. Now we out at 5 a.m. with the other woman we might have proposed to. Jeremy, you also your mind. I shared my location.
He does not respect Laura. Laura does not respect him. And they're just secretly getting their lick back until one of them dies.
Right.
That's how this ends. First ever love is blind murder. Oh my god. Oh, all right. So as usual, guys, you can follow Quita at @hello_Quita on Instagram. Please follow Black Eye Reality across all the socials and see you for the next recap.